Hey, this is Bill Kelleher from the band Mastodon, and you're listening to Sound Session.
Hey, what's going on? This is Michael.
And this is Kevin.
And you're listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. There is a great group, Mastodon, coming live at the Aragon Ballroom Saturday, May 13th. The doors open at 6:30. Kevin, I'm very excited to welcome our next guest, Bill Kelleher, to the show. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, guys. Not much. Hanging out in St. Louis.
Nice.
Missouri, getting ready for a gig. Yeah, on the road, doing the Emperor's Sand Tour with Eagles of Death Metal and Russian Circles.
Right on. So yeah, like you just mentioned, you're out in support of Emperor of Sand. So in your mind, you know, you guys, I mean, you've been putting out albums consistently for a long time here. What's different about Emperor of Sand?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to ask me as one of the main writers of the albums what's different, but I feel personally like I just spent a lot more time, like, really, you know, getting the riffs. I mean, that's my job in the band, is, like, you know, writing the riffs. It's like I don't touch the lyrics and the concepts, any of that stuff. I mean, I know what the concepts are when I'm writing, so I kind of try to keep all that stuff in mind. But I don't know. I feel like it's a culmination of a lot of earlier records, along with a lot of unexplored territory of some new progressive kind of ideas. You know what I mean? It's just every record we do, we try to strive for something a little different.
Yeah.
I mean, not even like consciously. It's just sort of as artists and songwriters and musicians, you know, we're always trying to challenge ourselves with like the next level. You know, I've always said from the get-go, like, we don't want to keep putting the same record out over and over and over. I mean, you don't really move anywhere if you do that. I mean,
sure,
there's some bands that are good at doing that, and, you know, the power to them, and their fans are diehard. But I think Mastodon fans can expect something a little different every record, you know. And with Once More Around the Sun, I felt like that was a great record and was kind of headed in a different direction. But with this new Emperor of Sand, I feel like this is so fresh and new to me right now that I love it. I mean, I love playing it every night. I like listening to it. And this is such a deep, real album. I mean, we really got super heavy emotional with this record. And I think that translates really well to a lot of our fan base.
Yeah.
Right on. And it's such a great album, too. Again, that's Emperor of Sand. Now, you mentioned the fact that you know, you're kind of the riff writer of the group. And let me tell you, Mastodon has some of the greatest riffs that I've heard in heavy metal. Now, when you're putting together these pieces and everything like that, a lot of times a whole song can come from a riff. And there's a lot that rides on the fact, the guitarmanship that you're putting into these songs. Where do you get this, like, inspiration? Are you listening or watching movies or listening to, like, you know, books on tape to get the inspiration? Or does it just come from, you know, practicing?
Well, I mean, on this particular record, I mean, we all do a lot of the writing. I don't want to take all the credit, but I mean, especially with this record, I feel like I had a lot more of my hand in the writing process, and so I can talk about this record in particular. But I don't like a riff collector, you know what I mean? I practice and play as much as I can, you know, and I bring my portable, like, Pro Tools recording software with me, so I try to, like, on a tour, that's like when I try to shine. I just try to, like, write as many riffs and ideas down as I can and put them into my computer. And then so I can, it's time to write a new record, I can go back and grab some of these, you know, like, I like to put them to certain BPMs, like, you know, okay, this one's on this click track, so it's in this kind of feel, this kind of timing. And a lot of times they change. I usually bring all that stuff to Braun, our drummer, because he and I live really close by, and I built a studio in my basement. So especially for the last record, I mean, we got together almost every day, and I would just dump out these ideas, wow, riffs, and just say, hey, help me make this into sense. You know what I mean? I mean, a lot of the stuff, I had skeletons for every song, but a lot of times all that stuff changes when you bring it to the rest of the band. And I mean, it's never, we did a lot of the demos, just the two of us. And then, you know, it's never a Mastodon album until everybody gets their hands on it and starts playing on it. And it definitely evolved once Brent and Troy got on there and, you know, we got into the studio. So, I mean, I don't know. Inspiration can come from anywhere. I don't really know. It's kind of riff gods come down from riff god heaven, and they just kind of, you know, it's almost one of those stupid acts, like a what's the word? Like an accidental, like a really great accident. I'm just playing a riff on the guitar, and then I'm just like, ooh, that sounds cool. Yeah. Let me record that. And it's a moment in time that, you know, if you don't record it right away and you lose it, you lose that cadence, that like rhythmic idea, you know, then it's gone forever. So I try to record everything that I'm playing so that I can remember it later for the album.
The guitar riff truly is like a mystical being, isn't it?
It appears to you. You don't come up with it. It comes to you, I feel like.
It comes to you, exactly. You don't really write it. It kind of forces you. It
manifests itself.
It manifests itself like a demon. It just kind of comes out, you know. So, you know, when you've got a good one, the hair is on your back.
Yeah.
All the hair on your back stands up, you know. So,
it's a good feeling.
That's kind of how it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. You just know it's a good riff. Like, okay, that's cool. Let's remember that one.
Yeah,
right on.
One for the books.
So let's go back to the beginning a little bit. Now, you and Bran had actually had a very, you know, close relationship before the band even started. How did you guys meet? How did Mastodon come to be?
Well, Bran and I grew up in upstate western New York in Rochester together, and we were always in the music scene together in different bands, and eventually we started playing together in a band called Lethargy. And then Lethargy played for a while around the, basically just in Rochester. We didn't really ever do much, even though I thought we were a great band with lots of potential, but it was never my band, you know what I mean? It was, I was kind of the second guitar player, kind of joined the band later. And then Bron and I also played in a band called Today Is the Day, like out of Massachusetts, for about a year. And in the meantime, my wife had moved from Rochester to Atlanta, and I had like kind of moved with her. And after Today Is the Day broke up, I had relocated to Atlanta, and I'd met Brent previously, like traveling to Atlanta to see my wife, because he was a fan of Today Is the Day. And I kept telling him, hey man, I'm not a bass player, I'm a guitar player really at heart, and I'm going to be moving here within the next 6 months, so maybe we could get together and start a band. And he was like, yeah, let's do that, great, sounds cool. So when Today Is the Day was finished, I told Bron, hey, I'm moving back down to Atlanta, because I'd lived there before for a little bit, and why don't you come with me, and we'll start something new. So he and I moved down there, and we started trying people out. Mm-hmm. And within a few weeks, you know, I remembered that there was a guy, Brent, who was around, and then he had Troy in his band, but their band was, like, falling apart. Their singer and drummer had left. We said, well, let's join forces, and we got together, and pretty soon, we were on the road. Like 3 months later, we were recording a record, and we're on the road, and it's all history from there.
That's awesome. That's what a great story.
I mean, you guys have done it nonstop for how many years now? It's been a long, hard
17 years.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have been doing it. So I'm looking at the lineup for this. Is it May 13th concert?
Yep.
At the Aragon, and I really love it. It's you guys. It's Eagles of Death Metal. It's Russian Circles. Russian Circles being Chicago's partially Chicago's own. It's a very eclectic lineup. I want to know kind of who handpicked these bands to come together like this?
Well, we do. You know, we've been friends with the Eagles for many, many years, and, you know, big fans.
Yeah.
And we've always run into them at festivals, especially, and cross paths, and just like hung out and party a little bit, and we're just like, man, we should really do a tour together. I mean, there's a lot of bands that we do that with. We're like, oh, we should tour together. And you know, sometimes our bands are about the same size, or so it's like sometimes it's hard to get all that coordinated and who's going to open for who and who sells more tickets and blah, 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 all the politics of it. But we felt like we'd been asking about Eagles for a couple of years, I think, and it finally just happened to be that they were available to do this.
Nice.
And then someone brought up Russian Circles were available, and we said, oh, hell yeah, that'd be great. And to me, you know, a perfect rock show is diverse. You know, there's different, you know, you don't want to see three Mastodon bands in a row. That's just not, what's the point of that?
Sure.
I mean, Russian Circles bring such a deep, dark ambiance to the setting, to the opening of the show, and the Eagles of Death Metal come out, and, you know, Jeff is very, he's very engaged with the crowd, and he's getting everybody pumped up for the big night.
Oh, yeah.
And then they play such a great rock and roll show. You know, and then it kind of calms down a little bit again, and we come out and, you know, we play our brand of metal and rock and roll and prog and all, and whatever we can pull out of the hat. You know, we play for about an hour and 40 minutes and just try to rock it out. Just have a real diverse kind of night, you know?
That's really cool. I like it a lot. And to piggyback on that question, what was your first concert that you ever attended?
My very first real concert was Ted Nugent opening for Aerosmith in 1986, I think, on the No More Mirrors tour.
All right. Mirrors. Whoa. That's awesome.
Yeah. And that was such a great night. I forget who the opening band was. I think it was different every city, but there was the thing was when they just got back together with I think they just kind of rehab or something like that, and they were kind of on the trying to quit cocaine tour. And I heard, which is really ironic, is that our old tour manager from our last couple years of touring, he was an old timer and he'd been around on all these different tours. We happened to be talking about the Rochester, New York War Memorial with Mirrors Aerosmith tour, and that was my first concert. And he said, "Man, I worked that concert.
Wow.
I was with them on that tour. It was their last show before they got back into trouble again in Boston, where they're from, and the band's tour, the whole tour went down the toilet. So that was the last night of that tour." And I was like, holy shit, I had no idea as a kid. Like, I just knew I loved Aerosmith because my babysitter, her older brother, had a record collection. And I used to throw it and grab all the Aerosmith records and play those.
Right on.
Yeah, that's great. Good story.
That's the best way to, like, learn about music is just, like, through a friend of a friend. And
right.
Then you're, like, stealing records, like, something like that. That's awesome. You know.
Well, I remember being a kid, my mom used to enter a lot of contests, and she won the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Bee Gees record.
Whoa.
When they did that crazy movie with Steve Martin, the Bee Gees. And Aerosmith was the evil band that was in that movie.
That's an old crazy
B-movie.
That's so funny.
So when I saw that movie, then I knew who Aerosmith was. And I was like, oh, these guys are a real band? Because they covered Come Together on that record. And they killed the main characters, Billy Fields' wife or whatever, his girlfriend. Whatever the main character was. So, mm-hmm. But it was a really long time ago. But yeah, that's kind of how I got into Aerosmith, was through the Bee Gees Beatles movie.
That's awesome. You know, that first album they put out was, I went back and listened to it just the other day, the first Aerosmith album, and it really holds up. You can see, like, how different their sound has become. Because they used to be kind of a garage rock band for a little bit. Now it's just so big and meteoric that it's not really the same, I guess.
Oh, yeah. They were a great, great band.
Well, speaking of great bands, you know, there's something that happened in 2016. It was called The Legends of the Siegelmen, and it was a super group with Brent, Danny Carey from Tool, Dimitri Coates from Off. And I was seeing, you know, you're a great guitarist. You've got it all down. What would be the members of your super group if you could put one together? It could be anyone, living or dead.
Hmm. I don't know, maybe Dave Lombardo on drums.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Warren on bass.
Nice.
Dwayne Dennison on guitar. And maybe Cedric from Mars Volta on vocals.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
How's that sound?
Yeah, it sounds wild.
I would see that show.
Yeah.
So Bill, I want to know, like you said, we said, you know, May 13th at the Aragon. When you do come to Chicago, I know it must be a lot of business for you, and you're probably, you know, I know you're on the road nonstop, so you're probably resting when you can. But is there anything that you, like, you have to go do or go see when you're here in the city?
Yeah, we usually get some really good Stromboli.
Interesting. From where?
I'm not sure. A good friend of ours, a Chicago native, he always brings us Stromboli. I'm not sure from where, but
it's
always freaking delicious. I'm a big fan of Chicago, and I usually, when I get there, I try to get there early and go for a nice run on the city or a bike ride.
Nice.
You know? And, you know, it's a great town, and, you know, there's a lot of history there, and you know, we playing there. We did a record, we did a DVD and a record at the Aragon a couple years ago. So it'll be fun to go back there and kind of revisit some old haunts and see some old friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, you did have that album. There's a lot of bands today that are putting out, you know, more DVDs, concert footage. People want to see, like, what's going behind the scene. I know that Brent had put out a YouTube video of him in the spacesuit and stuff like that. What are you guys doing as far as the new media? Are you guys going to be putting out a concert DVD anytime soon? Or what's the next step as far as, you know, letting your fans kind of get an inside look into Mastodon?
Well, with the new record, we did a lot of making of behind the scenes. We did like 11 different videos of us, you know, the one with Brent going to the moon or whatever is one of them. But there was about 11 or 12 of those that we kind of did up to the release of the record just to kind of get people excited about it. And you know, people want to see behind the scenes. They want to see, like, what kind of guitars you were using in the studio, what it looks like in there. You know what I mean? When I was a kid, we didn't have any of that stuff. You just had a record with, like, barely any pictures of the band and, you know, it wasn't any internet or any of that shit. So, I don't know. I would imagine in the future this year we'll probably put together some sort of DVD of us in the new record live all the way through, or at least a new video of us on tour, like a live video. I'm sure that'll happen. But it's too early to say. I mean, it's too early, about 10 days old, so
yeah.
That's where we stand.
Right on. So we only have about a few minutes left here, and thanks again for joining us here today on Sound Sessions. We wanted to know, you know, there's a lot of people who are up-and-coming musicians, especially here in Chicago, which is such a big music city. What kind of advice can you give to that guy who's sitting in his garage right now, guy or girl sitting in their garage playing music, and, you know, to get to the point where you are, or what struggles you've gone through that you've learned some wisdom from?
Well, you got to keep on practicing, and you just have to be patient. You know, I mean, you have to be patient, not only with the other people in your band, but just as far as, like, you know, for the longest time, Mastodon, we were just like in this plateau where we just didn't feel like we were getting any better. We weren't making any more money. We were just kind of doing it in a van for, you know, 7 years. But none of us were ever like, I'm going to quit. I'm going to go back to school. We just kept feeling like, this feels great. This is what I want to do. Is just, it depends on what your hopes are. If you're like, I want to be a millionaire overnight, then you better go back to college, you know.
Yeah.
If you want to, you know, live in a stinky van for 7 years and hopefully make it somewhere, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's persistence. It's playing. Keep on, you know, keep up your chops. Keep playing. Just keep playing same venues over and over as much as you can. That's all we did up and down the East Coast until, you know, we got some attention. It's all about working. It's just about getting out there and doing it and just playing and showing showing people that you're a working band and that you're, you know, you're worth your weight, basically.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, the main thing is being patient, for sure.
It's great advice. I think, I feel like a lot of people just expect to just, you know, hit it big overnight, and that's not the case. We hear that a lot from a lot of artists.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, we appreciate your time at the Aragon on May 13th with Eagles of Death Metal and Russian Circles. Bill, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right, guys. Thank you, too, and we'll talk to you soon.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.